role for Shakespeare and St John and, of course, King James himself. That's at 8 o'clock tomorrow evening.
A front row seat at a live concert every night of the week. Radio 3, live in concert.
This week, Radio 3 Live in Concert celebrates a prominent anniversary in the life of a London concert hall. We're at the Wigmore Hall to hear Joshua Bell, Stephen Isserlis and friends in a 110th birthday gala concert of chamber works, large and small, from Beethoven to Elgar. Wednesday night on BBC Radio 3 at 7.
Well, that's on Wednesday night, but the previous evening, on Tuesday, the pianist Stephen Hough and the Tokarch Quartet will be giving their own musical contribution to the Wigmore's birthday celebrations. Haydn, Beethoven and Dvorak are on the menu, and the reason I'm telling you especially is that in the interval, Christopher Cook will be telling the story of the London concert venue. So that's Radio 3 Live in Concert every night this week at 7 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3, 98 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. Just gone 1 o'clock and time for the news from Susan Ray.
The council officer sacked following the death of baby Peter has refused to accept any blame for his death, although she says she does accept responsibility for failings in her department. Sharon Shoesmith, who was Director of Children's Services at Haringey Council, was yesterday found to have been unfairly dismissed from her post. The Ministry of Defence says RAF Typhoon aircraft bombed a compound belonging to Colonel Gaddafi in the centre of Tripoli last night. The planes, along with other NATO aircraft, fired precision-guided weapons at the guard towers along the walls of the complex. Two Royal Marines have been killed in southern Afghanistan. The men who were serving with 4-2 Commando were killed by a bomb in Helmand province, their families have been told. Several hundred Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip have crossed the border into Egypt after an easing of restrictions. The territory has been blockaded by Israel and Egypt since Hamas took control of Gaza 4 years ago. The Serbian government says it will track down those who helped the former military commander Ratko Mladic evade justice for 16 years. He's now in custody facing war crimes charges relating to the Bosnian War in the 1990s. A court in Egypt has fined the country's former president millions of pounds for cutting off mobile phone and internet services during January's protests. Hosni Mubarak and two other officials will have to pay a total of £55 million. The government is accusing many councils of extravagance after details were published of spending on taxpayer-funded credit cards. The figures obtained under the Freedom of Information Act include flights to Thailand, Kenya and Bermuda and gifts of designer jewellery and clothing. The governing body of world football, FIFA, is under pressure to postpone next week's presidential election. Both candidates standing for the post are to be questioned by FIFA's ethics committee tomorrow over allegations of corruption in the World Cup bidding process. And the weather, it'll be a cloudy and breezy afternoon in most parts with some patchy light rain. BBC News and weather just coming up to 4 minutes past one.
And now we join Lucy Skeeping for the Early Music Show and the first of this weekend's visits to the Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music.
I'm in the heart of Westminster today, not far from the River Thames, and standing halfway up the stone steps that lead to the entrance of one of London's most popular concert halls, the historic Church of St John here in Smith Square. Designed in the 1720s, St John's is known affectionately as Queen Anne's Footstool due to its four huge towers, one at each corner, although Charles Dickens was evidently not very impressed, describing it as a frightful monster on its back with its legs in the air. Certainly the church dominates the red brick terraced houses that surround it, and being just a stone's throw from the Houses of Parliament, several of them have played their part in England's history too, until quite recently housing the Conservative and the Labour Party headquarters. These days, though, the comings and goings are as likely to be those of music lovers as politicians, particularly during the 9 days each spring when St John's plays host to the Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music. Now in its 27th year, the festival's become an indispensable part of the capital's cultural landscape. And this weekend and next on the Early Music Show, we're featuring highlights from four of the concerts, all of them given by leading performers from Europe and beyond. Today we hear Enrico Gatti, who was amongst the first to explore the early techniques and styles of the Baroque violin. Accompanied by Fabio Cioffini, he performs some of the truly remarkable works that came out of Germany and Austria during the 17th century. Surprising and really rather daring pieces that were associated with some of the most brilliant virtuosi of the day. So what connects all these concerts together? Well, the Lufthansa Festival is always inventive when it comes to themes. And this year they took as their starting point that ancient network of North European cities known as the Hanseatic League. Our musical tour takes us further south as well, from the Baltic coast all the way down to the waters of the Venetian Lagoon. And I'll be chatting with some of the performers along the way. But we begin in Germany. This is Enrico Gatti and Fabio Cioffini with music by Johann Schopp.
Thank you. the opening piece from the concert given earlier this month by Enrico Gatti and Fabio Cioffini at St John's Smith Square, Lacrimae Pavan by Johann Schopp, a diminution or arrangement, you could say, of a piece by the famous English lutenist John Dowland. I asked Gatti about Johann Schopp. He's a composer I hadn't come across before, who lived and worked in Hamburg, the main city of the Hanseatic League.
Yeah, but his music is known by an edition which was published in Amsterdam. The Tweetnemen Cabinet was published, I think, in 1655 in Amsterdam. And there are several pieces by him, quite interesting. They show this peculiar style of making ornamentation quite idiomatic for the instrument in a quite different style from Italian diminutions. So that there are also a lot of Italian pieces with diminutions on madrigals, on chansons, and they show a more vocal idiom, I think you would say. And Schopp is quite peculiar because it's very modern and there are so many idiomatic jumps which are not so suitable for the voice, and so it's quite interesting to compare with the Italian style of the diminutions.
Enrico Gatti, and we'll hear him in another diminution by Johann Schopp now, this time based on a madrigal by Alessandro Striggio. Striggio's original may have been just a simple part song, but in Schopp's hands it becomes an extraordinary showpiece for the violin, full of double stops, wide leaps across the strings and lots of changes of tempi.
Thank you.
Violinist Enrico Gatti with Fabio Cioffini on harpsichord in Johann Schopp's diminution of Striggio's madrigal Nasce la penna mia. One of the highlights from their concert given earlier this month as part of the Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music. As we've heard, the festival theme this year was the network of North European cities known as the Hanseatic League. And for the next part of our musical journey, we hear from another Hamburg composer, William Braid, an Englishman who spent virtually all his career on the continent. We're going to hear Braid's Chorale, a set of variations which some people have identified as being the earliest music written for solo violin by an English composer. It is accompanied, though, by an organ, which, as you'll hear, continues pretty serenely most of the time, allowing the violin to sparkle in a series of contrasting sections. And do listen out for the fourth variation, where the organ changes to a higher register, adding a really beautiful texture to the violin.
Thank you.
violinist Enrico Gatti with organist Fabio Cioffini performing Chorale by William Braid. Well, this duo certainly pulled a few unfamiliar composers out of the bag for this concert, and their next piece is particularly remarkable. It sounds almost romantic at times, and yet, as you'll hear, there are some quite bold dissonances as well. The composer is Giovanni Antonio Pandolfi Meali, which is a bit of a mouthful, as Gatti explained.
There are two family names because his father died and his mother got married the second time. So he had two family names, Pandolfi and Meali. And he came from Montepulciano, from Tuscany. And he was appointed in the Austrian chapel in Innsbruck, actually. He was in Innsbruck and Vienna. And his solo sonatas were published in 1660. And were dedicated to the Archduke. And then he went strangely to Messina in Sicily, where something terrible occurred, because he killed a colleague singer in the church after...
She was singing badly, was she?
No. He was he was a singer, a castrato. But they had fight, and strangely. And he was a priest, so he had to escape, and he escaped first to France, and then finally in Spain. And he was appointed then in the Royal Chapel in Madrid, where he ended his life.
Tell us a little about this particular piece. It's subtitled La Cesta.
Yeah, all his sonatas are dedicated to some colleagues, composers, musicians, and this is probably Marcantonio Cesti, who was called composer in Innsbruck. He wrote many operas for the Landestheater in Innsbruck. The Pandolfi sonata is quite interesting because they belong to this famous Stilus Fantasticus. The opening and final sections are in toccata-like form. I mean, they are really similar to a toccata, very free parts. And many ostinatos. And the sonata we play today, that was a beautiful chromatic ostinato with variations.
Thank you.
Sonata La Cesta by violinist, I think we'll just call Pandolfi Meali, one of the many Italian musicians working in the Austro-German world during the 17th century. A highlight from the concert given earlier this month by Enrico Gatti and Fabio Ceffini. With violin playing in Italy so much more advanced, you could say, than in Northern Europe, it was natural that many of the German courts preferred to employ Italian musicians rather than homegrown ones. Certainly, violin techniques were developing at some pace in Italy, and the sonatas of Marco Uccellini demonstrate the instrument's possibilities with great flair, making huge technical demands on the player. This one opens with a simple aria-like melody, almost like a courtly dance, and listen out for the echo sections and the rather Monteverdi-like theme over a drone bass.
Thank you.
Uccellini's Sonata No. 5. Enrico Gatti and Fabio Cioffini played violin and harpsichord, respectively. Well, from Italy, we return once more to the hub of the Hanseatic League, to Hamburg, a city that thrived not only in terms of trade, but as an important centre for culture as well. Johann Adam Reinken must have been one of its busiest artists. A composer and a founder of Hamburg's opera company, he was also a highly respected organist at the Katharinenkirche. And this piece features a rather striking organ stop, as Cioffini explained to me, almost like bells.
I try to have a nice sound with this organ. Of course, we have to imagine this kind of composition in a bigger organ, with a bigger sound and a loud sound. I try to use 8 and 2 foot just for having more fresh sound, more details in the articulation. So this fugue is one of the few compositions known by Reinken, who was the pupil of Scheidemann. But really, we don't know a lot about his life and his music. He left just a few pieces, and if somebody could try to record his compositions, I think that he can reach 45 minutes of music, not more.
He was a little older than Bach, not much, yeah, but yeah. He admired Bach, didn't he?
Yes, they met. Probably Bach met Reinken and listened a composition by him. And they were good relationship, I think. And Bach had a great reputation of Reinken and his music.
Fabio Cioffini, and here he is with Reinken's organ fugue in G minor. Thank you. Organ Fugue in G minor by Johann Adam Reinken, performed there by Fabio Cioffini. And so to our final music today from this concert from the Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music. And it's a sparkling ending to the programme. In fact, our journey finishes in the heart of Europe, in Salzburg, with arguably one of the most outstanding violinists of the late 17th century. Heinrich von Bieber was described as a formidable virtuoso. His solos are the most difficult and most fanciful of any of the period, declared our old friend Charles Burney. And he was right, because in this sonata, Bieber stretches every ounce of invention and technique out of the instrument. But don't worry, our performer Enrico Gatti is well up to the challenge.
Thank you.
Violin Sonata No. 3 by Bieber, ending this programme of highlights from the concert given at St John Smith Square by violinist Enrico Gatti and Fabio Cioffini on harpsichord and organ. And there's more from the Lufthansa Festival tomorrow with a programme of sacred German cantatas performed by countertenor Robin Blaise and the distinguished ensemble of players led by the lutenist Elizabeth Kenny, who call themselves the Theatre of the Air. I hope you'll join me then at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
That was Lucy Skeeping. Well, now, although Gustav Mahler died over a decade into the 20th century, he cast a titanic shadow and is seen by many as quite simply the greatest symphonist ever. He's, in fact, this week's Composer of the Week with Donald MacLeod.
This week, I'm calling to the witness stand the person who, we could be forgiven for thinking, knew him best, Alma Mahler, a woman who, if they'd existed, would, I suspect, have slapped on a few super injunctions in her time. Though her testimony isn't always reliable, one thing is certain. Mahler left only one piece you could call a love song, and this is it.
Liebst um Schönheit, wo nicht mich liebe, liebe die Sonne, sie trägt ein goldenes Haar.
Join me, Donald MacLeod, for Gustav Mahler, as seen by the woman who shaped his image, both in his lifetime and beyond, in Composer of the Week, every weekday at noon, and online whenever you like.
Well, now it's just gone 2 o'clock and we have another chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime concert, which was recorded at Wigmore Hall in London. Quatuor Eben is from France, and today they play works by Mozart and Borodin. The Mozart Quartet is the one in D minor, and it's one of a set of six which he dedicated to Haydn in the wake of the older composer's description of Mozart as the greatest composer known to me. Thank you.